Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag
is. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. Again, I've got my rightful seat in the chair seat today.
The hosting seat.
The chair seat, the queen seat, anything you'd like to call it, Lauren. This is the most comfortable chair, so I can understand why it's got such prominence. Anyway, my name is Tima, and you can follow me on X at teams_GH.
Hi, guys. My name's Brie. Brie Blue on Instagram.
Ella at LOC Ells.
I'm Moyo at Moyo's Laboratory.
Welcome back, Moyo.
Thank you.
And Lauren at Lauren Coyce.
Amazing, amazing. We haven't seen you in a while on the men's show.
Yeah, you know what it is? Like, before, when I used to not come on, you'd be like, oh, Moyo's ducking. But, like, I just haven't been on recording it.
I mean, what a time to come back to talk about all things United. There's a lot to discuss, but we're actually going to start with Newcastle versus Arsenal yesterday, and we're going to go to our Arsenal representative, Shai. He's still not here. Shai never turns up, honestly. Shai never turns up when Arsenal do not win. If they draw, she's not here. If they lose, she's not here. When they win, you'll see her bopping through the studio. It's actually ridiculous. But anyway, Arsenal lost, which gives me so much joy in life. And of course, it was somewhat of a controversial goal. Ella, what's your opinion on the goal that Newcastle scored?
I can understand from an Arsenal perspective why they might be a little bit upset. But when you look at it and the three incidents they checked, none of them were conclusive to rule the goal out. And by law, clear and obvious, I think they're just going to hold that. I'm sorry. They're just going to deal with it.
I can't lie. This is the most... I wouldn't say cocky, but arrogant I've ever seen you be about Arsenal.
Do you know why? Because Arteta came out last year and he said, oh, you know, the referees are protecting the league, doing the best they can. Mistakes happen. Well,
human error and all that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go through the goal. Because I actually think, in terms of a goal scored, every scenario that you could have to rule out a goal was in that one phase. So it's obviously the ball being in, not in. Benin Sport came out and they had that kind of...
The bird's eye.
But yeah. Even their bird's eye... Listen.
Hey, that line was thick.
Yeah,
that line was thicker than a Snickers.
Someone just do that quickly.
And then they added a bit more. No.
When I zoomed in, I was just like, this looks like a five-year-old has drawn this with a crayon. I'm not even convinced by that picture. But did you guys think it was out or in when you watched it live?
It was tight.
I was thinking they're definitely going to show us the bird's eye at some point, showing us that
I'll
from the
honest,
bird's eye it was in.
I'll be honest, I think it was out.
So did I.
Why are you whispering?
I think it was out, yeah. But you know, like everyone keeps using that World Cup Japan image, and when it's like it looks out to us, but like if you draw like downwards and like see that it's in. But sorry, Arsenal actually have to hold that. I'll be honest, because
for real,
United had a goal disallowed against Brighton. No, it was the exact same thing. Everyone was telling us to hold that. Everyone was saying Hoyland should hold that. He still hasn't gotten his first Premier League goal.
Still hasn't.
So everyone's holding that. Then that's fine. That's it. Hold that.
Listen, you don't have to tell me, man. I'm there screaming, hold that as well, like with my chest at Arsenal. Absolutely.
I'd also like to add, if Raya was doing his job and wasn't doing Flappy Bird
and Gabriel
the goal never would have gone in the first place. It was poor goalkeeping, and then Gabriel missed the ball and didn't clear it. So.
Let's talk about Gabriel, because again, Shai said that he'd get into the Chelsea team. I don't know. Like, he was doing like the duck walk when he was trying to like defend that goal, because for me he's already going down before Joe Linton puts his hand on his back.
Yeah, he stoops to head the ball because he can see that the ball is dropping in terms of trajectory.
I think you've got to be stronger there. I think you've got to be stronger. It kind of reminds me of it's funny because I know we're going to talk about Chelsea Tottenham, but it kind of reminds me of when Harry Kane got a goal ruled out against Chelsea because he pushed Thiago Silva, and Thiago Silva went down really easily.
I think I remember that goal. That's what I'm saying. It's just swings around. Like it's happening to everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone at some point is having to, do you know what I mean? Firm it.
Mm.
And in this case, it's Arsenal. Sorry. And I'm pretty sure in last season's matchup between Newcastle and Arsenal, Newcastle had a goal disallowed for the same sort of gist, and Arsenal fans were happy and said Newcastle have to firm that. So at this point, sorry, karma.
Mm-hmm. What about the handball?
Sorry, what goes around comes around. like genuinely, like every episode we're always discussing the officials and whether they make mistakes or not. There were other VAR mistakes in other games, like the Wolves game, where that was worse than what we've seen in this game. So like it just feels like it's everyone's turn every single week where there's debatable decisions. You just have to go
offsides.
Over it.
No, but
but the thing is, they didn't have an angle that could prove or disprove whether he was on or offside. So you can't just say, oh, because the Arsenal fans think he was offside, we're going to disallow it. Like, if they don't have the angle to make a conclusive decision, then you can't say it's a clear and obvious error.
Yeah. I think of all the errors that have been made this season I have seen, the only one that has a justified outrage was the Liverpool one. But this whole Arsenal outrage today, that they released a statement, like, it's really not that deep, just hold it.
What's killing me with that statement as well, is Arsenal fans are like, nah, I love this from the club. This is my club.
They haven't said anything in the statement, but we back our manager. Like,
literally.
Because they know the fine is coming. That's why. They know the FA fine is coming.
Do you know, for me, it's a bit embarrassing. So I tweeted about this because, and this is how I feel about a lot of things that Arsenal do. They're trying too hard to be that club. You know what I mean? Like I will never stop going on about the fact that they got the clock that said 11 to go. I'll never stop going on about the fact that they got a dog and named him Win. I will never. There are so many things that they do, and I think it was either Lauren or Ella before we started recording, when we were talking about Arteta. I won't say what we were actually saying about him, but. You to be that club or to be that guy or to be that manager, you literally just have to win trophies. You can't. It's not something that you can magic up. It's not something that you can envisage. You can't just axe away and just think that you're going to be there. The like North London Forever stuff also really pisses me off because A, your club was not founded in North London.
You're not even from North London.
And B, like, you're not.
Please.
You're also not Liverpool. You're trying way too hard to be that club. And that statement is just an example of that, I think.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Arteta embarrassed himself again.
So badly.
No, he's very egotistical. Like,
you know what it is? He's packaged it up so that, like, when Arsenal eventually do win the big honours, so that, like,
don't when if not when.
Okay, if Arsenal end up winning big honours, like, the list of stuff that Arteta's brought into the club is going to be long. So he's basically trying to implement all the stuff now so that when it bangs, he can say, I did this. I created a winning culture. And I'm not saying he hasn't created a winning culture. I'm not saying he hasn't created like a better atmosphere in camp. But at the same time, a lot of the stuff he's doing is for a club that should already be win, like it's already supposed to be a winning club. He's supposed to be winning and bringing in this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And yes, he's been winning games, but he hasn't won anything major yet.
Do you think, Ella, that they have a winning mentality, a winning culture? You said, because how can you do that when you've only won an FA Cup?
I think, especially the last two seasons. I think, especially the last two seasons, Arsenal have started seasons very well, but they've ended not up to par. And that's cost them. And the end of the season, that's crunch time. That's when you need to show it. So it's going to be interesting this season with the Champions League, how on earth they balance it.
No, they're going to win it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, shy.
Win it.
So it's going to be interesting. I think, let's see how the experience of not winning pushes them this season. But I think it's City's again to lose. I'm sorry.
I can't lie, I'm loving this. I love bashing Arsenal.
I would like to say, though, I do think Saliba might be the best centre-back in the Premier League.
You know what? You didn't have to come back.
I have to say it. I was watching him yesterday. I said,
yeah,
he's good. He's really good. Timo, you're not going to agree. Obviously, we know you're not going to agree with this.
Who do you think is better than him?
Cut the cameras now, checking. We're never getting her back, by the way.
Done and dusted. I don't like the rest of their squad, though, but like.
I think he's overhyped. I don't think I'm going to stand by. I'm going to maybe he's overhyped, but strong. He's better. I think Thiago Silva's better. I think Varane is better. I think Varane is better on his day.
Now. Varane is better. I'm not going to lie yet. Take one look at Varane's knees. Not
Van
knees.
Dijk is better.
Never, ever.
Van Dijk is better.
Sorry. I actually forgot about Van Dijk. It's between Van Dijk and Thing.
Yeah, but based off
the Man City centre halves are also better.
No, I'll put Konate in there, but
No, Ella.
Chill. What?
You had Van Dijk.
No,
you had Van Dijk.
Be happy I named him because he wasn't looking too good about 30 seconds ago. That's sorry, true. Bree, what was you gonna say?
No, I said based off this season, agenda aside, who's better in your eyes?
I've literally just named about four.
No, but you said based between Thiago Silva and Saliba, who's better this season?
Thiago Silva.
You're actually so shameless, and I pray to never be as shameless as you.
I can't even back you on that. I'm sorry, but
I am who I am.
I rate the loyalty. I do.
Yeah, I just think to myself, like, looking at that France team, he should be the way that you and Arsenal fans speak. He should be in that center of their defense. No question. But he's getting pity minutes.
Yeah, but how much do you value like international? Because it's funny that you're saying you value international side now, yeah. But when United fans will bring up Pogba's France performance, you say, okay, what's he done for United? I'm talking about what Saliba's done for Arsenal.
I would say that.
Everyone, man.
I just think you've got to, and particularly like if we had a conversation about the Ballon d'Or last week. Mm-hmm. Shai said. Messi deserved to win it because of the World Cup alone. I rest my case.
No, I'm just nodding in acknowledgement. I'm not nodding in agreement.
But if you're gonna win one of the greatest or most prestigious awards based on international, let's be honest, it's not based
on.
You don't
rate Romero though, and Romero was part of that World Cup. He started.
Who said I don't rate him?
Pardon?
Who said I don't rate him?
You've been telling me for ages that you don't rate Romero.
Tima actually thinks we can't see her. Like, she's just doing stuff and we can't see her.
You'll never hear from my lips praise for a Spurs player.
Fair. Okay.
But maybe secretly I do.
But for me, Romero's had just as good a start to this season as Saliba has.
So do you think he has been just as... So do you think he is better than Saliba? Hmm.
Yes, but I know that I'm going to say that bias as a Spurs fan.
We all have our biases.
My centre back has a Copa America. He has a World Cup. Because we're talking, we're having this conversation. Okay, we're having.
I'm not going to lie. Ella said Konate. We can't go back to Ella.
Apart from the handball against when we were playing Palace and Jordan Ayew, and it was a handball and they still gave the goal. Romero didn't concede a goal for club or country in the whole of October. So if we're talking about the actual starts of the season, Romero is in the discussion.
No, he is. I put him in the discussion.
Talk your shit.
Yeah.
What else gives Saliba?
Why can't I talk about United defenders? Why can't they even
tell us about Johnny Evans?
I mean, in reality, like, why can't I put a name in the hat? At least you lot are putting names in the hat. You're saying Thiago, Konate, Van Dijk, Romero. Silence. Can't say a word. Can't say anything.
Johnny Jesus Evans, Christ.
I think Maguire's improved.
Maguire's done his thing.
Don't worry, we'll come to United. So you're putting, what's his name?
Romero.
So that's at least two defenders, Moyo, that other people have named.
That's in the discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alongside Saliba.
Saliba's good. He's good. I think Desai came out and said something very. Marcel Desai.
What about him?
He basically called him ass.
Wait, what?
That's my countryman. That's my countryman, man. Can I say, man?
I thought you put him forward, as in.
Yeah, well, when you just said his name, I said, what about him? He cussed
out Saliba, and then. Underneath, so this is on Twitter, I saw the comments, and then underneath all these Arsenal fans is like, Saliba's better than your whole career. And then Chelsea fans are just literally sending pictures of him holding the Champions League, literally holding the World Cup, holding the trophy.
They think his career just started at Chelsea.
It's interesting though, like, I think he's definitely up there and he's had an impressive start. But for me, I want to see more, and I want to see him get into that France team. Really, that has to be probably his next target, is to win a trophy or win trophies for Arsenal, and to get into that. I just remembered last week. Anyway, and to Kema, I'm not mentioning it.
Stop that.
And to get into that France team, like, he has to be the heart of their defense.
He should be starting at the Euros next year. He should be starting for France at the Euros if he continues this form.
He has to displace.
Who's he got in front of him? Konate.
Displace Konate.
Yeah, that's what he has to do in the French team. Konate starts, isn't it? Just saying.
You know politics, man.
Yeah, politics does come into it.
Konate deserves. He's had good performances for France, to be fair, yeah. But it's hard to come out of an international. Like, it's hard to display someone in an international
side. Listen,
let me not speak.
To be fair, you got resource number one until he said, I'm not playing anymore. That's true. And Manyan was there.
That's true.
Just to go back to the Arsenal game, the one thing I want to talk about is their performance, which I feel like hasn't been talked about because of this goal controversy. Lauren, what did you make of their performance yesterday?
Lackluster. I think the biggest talking point from their whole performance was Kai Havertz.
Should have been sent off?
And how he was lucky. I think he was lucky to be on the pitch.
Incredibly lucky.
I think the force that he went in, for me, is dangerous. If he catches him any higher, he could have broken his leg. Mm-hmm. So I'd like this kind of, it was reckless but not dangerous. I just think the intent and the force that he went in with, he wanted to do him. Like, the ball was going out, it was a throw-in. There's no excuse for it, really. Equally, I'm surprised that Bruno Guimarães also did. I'm surprised that game finished with no red cards.
Yeah.
Put it that way. But yeah, I don't know. I just think Arsenal looked a little bit flat. I think when Saka doesn't have a good game, the rest of the team doesn't have a good game.
I have some comments on Saka, actually. I feel like he's actually been quite shit for the last few games. And we're not there's not enough discourse around his lackluster performances. Like you said, he needs to rest. He is tired. Like, he's literally tired. He just came back from an injury as well, just before the international break. But yeah, he's tired, and that's why he's been shit. Arteta needs to rest him, but he won't, so...
Do you feel like Arsenal like when Saka doesn't, like when Saka is rested, which is very like rarely, but when he is rested, do you think Arsenal look good enough though out wide?
No, I don't think so.
Because who, Joe? Who's his their replacement?
You're about to say Joe Willock. No?
Yeah.
Wrong shirt.
We usually put Jesus out and then Nketiah up front.
Yeah. Or a Trossard. Yeah.
Or Trossard. But like,
but the team doesn't have. If you take Saka out of that team, and probably Martinelli, the team doesn't have goals because. Yeah. Eddie Nketiah isn't that guy.
I was about to say.
He's not going to get enough goals. Jesus isn't going to get enough goals if they want to win the league.
Yeah.
Why has Nketiah been the starting number 9?
You know what? He scored a hat trick last week
against Sheffield.
Just because of that?
Yeah, but he was terrible against West Ham. I think Nketiah
is actually a good player, yeah.
Do you think, would you start him against Newcastle?
For United or for Arsenal?
Arsenal.
Oh. Yeah, I would have started him.
But who's your other choice? Because Jesus is
injured. That's the thing. They didn't really have a choice.
Start Trossard. Put it up front. Sometimes that would have been a better gamble.
I feel like when they start Trossard, he doesn't look as good off the start.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't want it. Like, no one wants to be an impact player.
So you guys think Nketiah is a better choice to start up front over Trossard?
I don't think they have a choice.
Yeah.
I think Arteta spent a lot of money. And I do look at the Arsenal squad and I look and think, when are they going to have enough options where a couple of injuries, and like, I don't know, I feel like you've done all this work, you've got yourself into the Champions League, and I still look at the squad and think, it looks a bit iffy when they rotate it. Mm. Still, after how many seasons under Arteta, how much money that they have spent, it just looks and thinks, the squad is still incomplete.
Very much.
So are you looking at anyone in particular? I'm thinking.
If you're going to win the Premier League, you need a striker that's going to get you, bearing in mind that Haaland is there at City, you need somebody that's going to get you 25 goals minimum, probably.
To win it.
And a goalkeeper that's good enough.
You can afford 18 to 20 if you've got wingers that are doing 15.
Yeah.
I think as a collective, and maybe including a number 10, like 60 goals, like almost
combined.
60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Arsenal's problem right now is mainly in their attack, you know?
Do you think they're not creating as many chances?
No,
as
midfield. No, I think defensively Arsenal are fine, but going up front is like looking like
Odegaard has fallen off a cliff a little bit. I know
he's injured, but he hasn't played well. Mm, but then really. Fabio Vieira, as the alternative option, also doesn't play that well.
So. Yeah, but they were crying out for him when Havertz...
He's a good player, but they don't play. He doesn't get enough minutes. Mm. And I think Arteta, it's more like Smith-Rowe. Like, these are good players, but...
Yeah, but he played once and he's injured again.
Even Nketiah, when Jesus was injured around January, like, he did well. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, I don't think Arteta is building the squad up and building that harmony so everyone feels like they're a part. And when everyone comes on, they're going to perform. Like,
so it's
that's
not happy clappy, as they would lead us to believe.
Yeah.
No, it's not. But it's only November,
everyone
you
just
know.
Smiling, it's
actually, no, but guys, like, are we deep in? It's just November. They're already having these problems. Like, how? I can't wait to see how they handle it with the FA Cup, Champions League, Premier League. Mm. Like, yeah, they don't have the squad for
it. I think starting 11, pound for pound, they would match City. But
yeah.
No,
I don't.
No, like, in terms of, if they could play the same 11 players, they would beat most teams, but they can't play the same 11 players.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah. I think the midfield is a little bit imbalanced at the moment, but... Yeah.
I think the signing on of Kai Havertz baffles me.
Yeah, they wasted their money.
Baffles
they did.
Me.
They wasted
Weird.
Their money.
Because when you were talking about goals and when you were talking about strikers, in my head I'm thinking, I said that they don't have an option. They do have an option, which is to put Kai Havertz up front, like Chelsea did. But we all know that he doesn't have the output. And probably Nketiah is probably a better option. But, and the way he was yesterday, I don't get it.
He
I don't get it.
That was his best performance.
Who said that?
That's what it, you did. So many Arsenal fans yesterday were like,
because you tried to rock up everybody.
No, they said, yeah, he wasn't good, but that was his best performance.
What, because you got three yellow cards in a Newcastle place?
The bar is in hell.
Nah.
But the thing is, I don't, like, that signing, in terms of, Havertz has not showed us since he came to the Premier League that he's capable of getting 10 Premier League goals, let alone the 15 maybe that you think. So it's kind of like, And then, and that was him not being able to get 10 playing as a false nine or playing as a 10. Now he's, I don't know, like, is he in the midfield three-ish?
Yeah, left midfield, kind of, yeah.
It's kind of, he's that goal output is just not coming from him.
He's just not that guy. Like, I think Arteta tries to be too clever sometimes for his own good.
He's too big for his boots. That's his problem.
You know how Joe Linton came to Newcastle and he was a striker and now he's a midfielder?
Yeah.
I feel like maybe that's what Arteta's
thinking.
Yeah,
but
thinking.
Joe Linton has the attributes to do box to box.
Because he's just playing him in midfield. And
that doesn't make sense.
A midfielder
has to be able to tackle.
Say that he wants him in midfield. Yeah. And then Kai Havertz started saying, oh, yeah, midfield is where I actually started playing. But
yeah,
but you don't... One thing with Havertz as well, I think Havertz doesn't know where he wants to play. Because there was a point at Chelsea, they were arguing that they weren't playing him in the right position. And then they moved him up front. And then he said he likes up front, but he knows that there's a pressure when you play up front to score goals. But in terms of his attributes, he wants to play up front. And now he changed his mind again and seems to not want to play up front.
But what is his best attribute?
I actually don't know, you know.
He's not my problem anymore.
Because that's how you know what he's
You cannot play midfield if you can't tackle.
No.
If you cannot get up and down and you cannot tackle. Because when Eriksen for United plays too deep, there's beyond his limits in what he can do. And I think, I think Kai Havertz has got a good engine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could play him for 90 minutes. He's not going to tire. But Joe Linton had the qualities of being able to convert to a midfielder. Because he's strong, he can get up and down. Technically, he's very good. He can just push the ball on. I can't see Havertz being able to do that, or even drop into the space that when Declan Rice is driving through the midfield to try and push the ball off, and then you look and think when the ball turns over. If at the moment, if you're playing Arsenal and you know that Jorginho is there, you're gonna feel like, oh, in transition, we're gonna get at them.
Mm-hmm. Jorginho, jeez. Sorry. Thank you, Arsenal. I think just to kind of round up this kind of Arsenal chat, because as much as I'm loving every second of it, there's obviously other things to talk about. So they've lost back-to-back games and they got knocked out of the cup. Are they all...
They got slapped. Shout out, Philippa. Sorry. Bubbles. Sorry, Philippa. Yeah, we should have mentioned it earlier. Sorry, Philippa.
As a Tottenham fan, I know that you must have been very impressed. He needs to be shouting bubbles on his head.
Yeah, the thing is, I can't stand West Ham. I can't stand Chelsea. I can't stand Arsenal. But if Chelsea or West Ham are playing Arsenal, I'll be changing.
I'm so happy they got knocked out. But then, and, you know, the Ghanaian prince did his thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His bicycle kick as well.
Yeah, really
impressive. Yesterday. Unbelievable.
But that's now another missed opportunity for silverware for Arteta. Can he actually afford to have another trophyless season?
No.
But it's Arsenal, so he'll be fine.
Yeah. I can't see them sacking him, even if they finish trophyless.
Yeah.
No, like, that's what I said. Like, it's Arsenal, takes time, innit?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think he should get sacked, even if he doesn't win a trophy.
Mm. Is that because you enjoy Arsenal not winning trophies? Or is that because you actually think he's building something?
What do you think he's building?
Mm-hmm.
And how long do you think the build will take?
And do you think he could do that with Pep and Klopp?
Apparently Moyes an architect.
I think he's building a resolute team. He's building like a team that's difficult to play against, that creates chances in almost every game. And like, you can see what he's doing. Even with his recruitment normally, like minus like the Havertz and co, like you can see, even when they're linked with players, it will make sense where that player's going to be implemented in the system. But yeah, it doesn't seem like there's the same pressure. Like, there's not the same pressure at Arsenal. We know that. He doesn't have to win something, even though they want him to win something.
For me, he has to win something this season.
Or else what?
You can't spend, what, how much has he spent? Like, 400 million? I don't know.
What, this season or in general?
In general.
600.
With no trophy, yes.
Nah, okay, maybe I'm changed.
That's a lot of money to be fair, he won an FA Cup. But
that's an FA Cup.
Aubameyang really won that. But.
And the referee did. but I think, you can't have that and not, and yeah, you, I don't think he can have another trophy this season. He has to win something this season for me.
He's been at Arsenal since what, 2019? Mm-hmm. Come on, like, how long is that gonna take? You should have won something by now. Mm-hmm. Listen, we've switched managers how many times since he's been at Arsenal, and we've still squeezed in the Champions League within that period. Like, come on. He needs to win something.
And I appreciate it's not easy going up against Pep City, but equally, Liverpool managed to break that mold and get the trophies that they did. And I can't help but think, if Klopp hadn't won those trophies, would Klopp still actually be at Liverpool?
I doubt it.
So you look and think at some point you have to catch City on a blip.
This is a club that allowed a manager to go 9 years without winning a trophy and then bullied said manager out of a job.
That's why I said it's true. Arsenal, like, he'll be fine.
And this is an opportunity. Like, Kevin De Bruyne is out till I don't know when.
Yeah,
Man City will get stronger during the second half of the season. They kind of needed to.
Haaland went off injured.
FPL teams. Yeah, I thought they took him off, but it was an ankle. Noticed thing on FPL.
Oh, I need to take him on my FPL then.
I'm gonna get Salah or something.
Solidarity to all the FPL players.
So what does Salah do today?
It's been a tough week. Yeah,
I told you not to captain Salah. I did say
my FPL team suffered this season.
At least Salah got 2 points. Salah got one.
I haven't even looked at it.
It's the same thing, man.
I knew it was bad. Yeah, everyone else was. What was City's score yesterday? Wasn't it
6-1?
What did Haaland do?
No, he didn't come out.
No, as soon as I heard, he's been taken off. I said, I'm not looking at my FPL.
Even Alvarez, 6 goals. Nothing from Alvarez.
I think they said like 114,000 triple captained him.
No, more than
I would have deleted the app. that's the last I'm playing.
I'm waiting for that Luton game, and then maybe potentially I'll triple
captain. The double game week when the Champions League comes, knockouts.
Well, maybe not losing away.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, so Arsenal in the mud. I quite enjoyed that. Did you guys win?
Brighton have scored and
we just conceded again, but it's
what it is. So for the listeners, we're talking about United Women are in the mud, a bit like the men's team. So actually, why don't we talk about them?
Nice segue. Love that.
Manchester United, interesting week for you guys. Got slapped up by Newcastle 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
Got slapped up last weekend by City.
Okay, that's not part of this week's pod, but sure.
Old Trafford is falling down. Egghead is a fucking clown.
You would never know.
Screaming for the bottom.
Glazers is laying 10 more years. Gold diggers are on the piss.
What's wrong with this girl?
Anyway. I had to, honestly, that song is in my head. Since that Man City game, that song has been in my head. And I was with one of my boys yesterday, and like, he's a Man United fan.
In midweek, they were singing it as well. Newcastle.
Even Leeds. Leeds are in the Championship, and they were literally singing it.
Leeds don't have shame, though. You know what I mean? Shameless.
Egghead got a victory, though, yesterday, and the performance was interesting. Leo.
It was awful again. We're just not playing well at all. He got to 50. So Ten Hag now has 50 wins as United manager, quickest 50. Joint quickest 50 in United history, which is insane, to be honest. Mm. And it's nuts, because when you look at last season and you compare it to this, it's night and day. Like, this team genuinely are not even working chances. Last season, I feel like we created a decent amount of chances in games, even though we weren't clinical. And then the argument was that, it's because we don't have a striker.
Mm.
Now, we're not creating chances at all. I think they said, that Hoyland hasn't had a chance created for him in 160 minutes, which is, whilst it's like, Hoyland hasn't scored.
Those binary numbers.
He's frustrated.
What do you want him to do?
Like, frustrated.
Normally he gets taken off and the fans, like, complain that he's being taken off. Yesterday he got taken off and he, like, kicked out at something that he's, obviously, I would be annoyed too. And I feel like United right now, especially United fans, is just like a lot of copium. Like, they're just using so many stuff to like get over the fact that we're just shit, innit? Like.
I would say that United is so bad that you don't even take momentum from a win because it was
mad shit.
Yeah,
what's the next game?
Wasn't good. So I think before the City game, we had 3 wins in a row. Yeah.
Mm.
And then we knew City was coming, so we knew that was coming to an end. And then that came to an end, and we're like, oh, Newcastle midweek, they're gonna Newcastle gonna rotate, so we're like, make things right. Boy. We are done. We are so finished. If you saw the starting lineup for Newcastle, yeah, it makes it even sicker that we lost. Like, the players that were starting, you wouldn't even recognize some of the names. That's how bad it was. Like, so we were thinking, this is our chance.
Yeah, because they actually did rotate.
They rotated so heavily. Like,
because they had Hall, they had Livramento, Common Boys in there. They had, Richie? I couldn't even believe that Matt Richie was still playing for Newcastle.
Come on, man.
What happened?
United equaliser. Rachel Williams, man.
99th minute. But yeah, like, we're just finished. We are absolutely finished. And every time I watch them, I'm like, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. One United fan the other day, yeah, did like a tweet and was like, we still got these players to come back. And I was looking at the list and I was thinking, is this supposed to help? Like, are these not supposed to help us? The players they were talking about are players that don't start. So businesses, like, other than Luke Shaw, yeah, that's coming back, like, he's not even come back soon. He's not even back to training yet. The players they're talking about are like Ahmad. And I like Ahmad a lot.
Who?
Diallo. Ahmad Diallo. See? And the fact you're saying who?
He was on loan last year.
Sunderland. Yeah. That's Sunderland.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, yeah. He would be our best right winger. But people are moving like...
we're going to come on to that.
People are moving like he's going to... Like, he ain't playing. Look at what I mean. Like, yeah. Then they started mentioning some other dons from like the academy. Ten Hag doesn't even know who that man is. Do you know what I mean? Like,
someone's going to say Charlie Savage in a minute.
Boy, listen. That was a good kid, man.
And so Bruno Fernandes has had an interesting week. A lot of people, and we discussed it last week on the pod, but now we've got a Manchester United person here. Like, what are your opinions about him being captain? Do you think he should be stripped of the captaincy? Yeah.
All He's not Bruno. A good captain. Really bad. Really, really bad captain, to be honest. Like, Maguire was a bad captain. He was a bad captain, yeah, because you can just tell the players didn't respect him enough, yeah. And Bruno is a bad captain, yeah, because the officials hate him, number one, yeah, and he doesn't even do anything to curb that. Number two, he doesn't take control of situations. There's a big reason, yeah, why we often concede straight after we score. And it's because of the fact that as soon as play restarts and he gets the ball, ball in behind, and there's no one. He's putting the ball to no one. He turns over possession so often, yeah? And you want your captain to be able to settle the ship. He does not settle the ship at all. And my third issue with Bruno is that he just ain't good enough. Like, just ain't good enough. We've had a lot of poor captains, a lot, in recent time. But... yeah, he ain't good. But when I think about like him being stripped and stuff, I don't know. Because who else?
That's the thing. We didn't come to a conclusion.
That's what I'm saying. Casemiro. And to strip someone of
He's
it,
injured again.
You have to have a... Who?
Varane. No, Casemiro.
So if Varane wasn't made of Jamie Dodgers, I would have absolutely had him as captain. Like, no question. 100% I would have had him. He is the most captain-like in the team, but his injury record is so shambolic that he can't be captain, because then either way Bruno will still end up being captain because he's not going to be there half the time. Smiling too much, man.
No, I'm thinking about the next question. I don't know how to approach this. That right winger of yours,
listen, you lot know my stance on Anthony. Pound for pound, the worst signing that United have ever made. Ever, by the way. As in, I don't even think there's debate. He's the worst signing United have ever made.
So, wait. Let's break that down a little bit. Because you signed, is it Bebe?
Pound for pound, because you're 100 million euros.
I'm not sure that Bebe was even a professional footballer when you signed.
Listen, let me say one thing about Bebe. He had some vibes. He had the vibes, yeah. We had a lot of Portuguese players at that time. It was just like, vibes. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to get mad at him. We didn't spend a lot of money on him. Anthony, for a club that is now saying they don't have money, you have to deep it, yeah? Like, it's like, yeah, I went, oh, give me £1,000, I'll get you something so good, yeah? And you tell me, oh, but I've only got £1,005 left in my account. I said, don't worry, what I'm going to get you is so good. and I bring something, you say, what is this? I say, oh, I got it somewhere random, like, but I'm sure it'll be
and
good.
And it's non-refundable.
It's non-refundable, yeah, and I'm sure it'll be good one day, yeah. And the value of it is pennies. But I've just spent your £1,000, now you're left with £5, and you're trying to haggle with God knows who. Loan. £2 million loan. Can you pay half the salary? No. We are done. You are finished.
The thing is, when you first signed Anthony,
I had an issue then.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's a goal. I sent it. No, you was definitely on an episode, I think.
I had an issue.
Oh, yeah. Sagal was actually.
Yeah, but listen, let's play one with Sagal, yeah? Sagal looks like rose tinted glasses.
Wait. For the listeners, you need to go back to the archives for this episode. True. I think this was last season. It was in the other studio. I sat next to Sagal and I said, how many goals and assists? You were definitely there.
Yeah, I was there.
And I said, how many goals and assists are you going to expect from your £100 million man? You can't put that much pressure on him because, you know, like, he's got to, like, settle in. And then I was like, no, tell me.
I think I said 10
Love
and
you, Sagal.
10. I think I said 10 and 10.
And
10
she was like, 10 goals. And I was like, now she has to come with an apology. I want a public apology from Sagal for Anthony.
Anthony, yeah, scored in his first three games for United, yeah? First three Premier League games for United, he scored in all of them. Everton, Arsenal and City.
Yeah, then everyone realised he only has one foot.
Yep. Since then, yeah, so that must have been the first week of September 2022, yeah? Since then, he scored one Premier League goal. Since September 2022 to November 2023, he has scored one Premier League goal. And you know what is, yeah? I could forgive the lack of goals, yeah, if he was getting 15 assists Premier League. In that time, yeah, I think he's gotten one assist. I think he has one Premier League goal, one Premier League assist, yeah,
80 million.
In 15 months.
And he doesn't even... The thing is, like, not every... I think some players were, like, Kulusevski, for example, his numbers are not always high, but he contributes to the way that we play. Yeah. He's constant threat, contributes to the press. So you can forgive some players if they don't have the out-and-out goals and assists. Anthony will contribute to nothing.
Not a thing.
Not
the only thing that I can say he does, yeah, is track back. But is that what you pay 88 million for? 88 million pounds, 100 million euros, yeah? 100 million euros. Let's everyone just use our brain here for 1 second, yeah? 100 million euros for this. And what he does every game, he has a bad game, then he starts squaring up to a random defender. Then he starts squaring up to a random assistant ref that I didn't even know was on the pitch.
Co-signed by Bruno.
Because the worst thing is Bruno's even started shouting. And when Bruno's shouting, you know you're finished. Because Bruno should be shouting at himself. The fact he's using his time to shout at you means we are finished.
His performance yesterday was an absolute abomination.
They keep cheering when he comes off. They keep the United fans are cheering when he comes on.
But why isn't, so sorry to cut across, why isn't Egghead starting Mount on the right? I don't understand how Anthony's starting over Mount on the right.
Boy, I'm not gonna lie. The bar is in hell, isn't it? The bar.
Boy, is it won't make no difference.
Mount starts. I don't want to see Mount on the wing. I absolutely do not want
He'll be a better option than Anthony, though. Yeah.
How much better?
A lot
he
better.
He can track back, too.
We are finished. We are finished. Look at the names we're presenting here for right-wing options for United. We are done.
Well, you do have a right-winger, but currently he's in open prison.
I'm not going to lie, yeah. Whether or when Ten Hag gets sacked, yeah, let's be real.
When?
Semantics.
Moya, do you think he'll get sacked this season?
Depends how far down we go, I think. Mm. I think our usual sacking period is after a thumping at Anfield. So we'll see.
When is that match?
I don't even
December.
Know.
But people are saying he might not make it to December.
December.
I just need him to make it to the Chelsea game and then he can do whatever you like.
The thing is, you're hyping that game.
I think we'll beat you.
I've already screenshot your thing saying, oh, I can't wait till this.
Yeah, I think we'll beat
you. But let me tell you one thing. Let me tell you why you're being deceived. You're viewing United. You know how you lot keep saying, oh, we play well against good teams. We're not a good team. So think of that game. Think of that game as when you're playing Luton and when you're playing Bournemouth and when you're playing Sheffield United. That's who you should be thinking of that game as. You lot think it's gonna be the game's gonna be open toe to toe. What? We're a bad team. We're a bad team. And we're gonna go and do low block that day.
If you do low block, we're finished.
Precisely.
But let's see, man, let's see. What was your opinion about the Sancho?
If and when Ten Hag gets sacked, yeah, I still don't think Sancho should come back into the fold.
Ooh. I agree. I think he should go.
Not because Ten Hag has been an idiot, yeah, but so is Sancho. And Sancho seems to be content. Like, I don't think people realise this could have been resolved time ago. But he's content with it not being resolved. And that's why we're in this predicament. The other day, yeah, they were talking about Rashford going out for his birthday. And that's something after the City game, yeah? And that's something he shouldn't have had to apologise for, by the way. I booked it beforehand. I'm going China White. Sorry, innit? If we lost peak, but I'm still going out for my birthday.
They're not robots. You don't sit inside your house and not do anything.
Literally. To call him out for that.
They kept asking Ten Hag about it in the press conference. Mm. And he was like, I spoke to Rashford about it. He knows it's like, it's not on. Optically, it's not good. So I told him about it and I told him it's not acceptable. And he went, Rashford apologised and we've put a pin in it. Like, I don't think you're, like, Ten Hag has called out a lot of the players, by the way. This is not new.
There's poor man management, though,
in my opinion. That's what I'm saying. Ten Hag still needs to hold a lot of the responsibility, but Sancho does not want to hold any of the responsibility either.
Mm.
Like, he said, the argument keeps being that, like, Anthony isn't good in games. And I agree. Anthony's awful, yeah? But Ten Hag's comment came about the training session the days before the Arsenal game. And he said that the younger players that were in the squad that day performed better in training, and that was the reason they won the squad. That was the statement. That was what he said. And yes, you can take offense to that, because then it's like, whoa, like, it feels like you're calling me out about how I... But he is. Mm-hmm. And Ten Hag didn't dispute that. He did call you out about that. And the same way he called out Rashford before when he came late to training... And he wasn't in the starting lineup for the Wolves game. This is not the first time Ten Hag has called someone out. So whilst Ten Hag needs to hold a lot of the responsibility, Sancho being fine with being at the squad, especially in a moment that we're struggling, is very odd behaviour from him. But, and he hasn't done enough to... I'm sorry, he had not... Even before that moment, in general, he had not done enough in his United career to warrant being upset over that.
Mm.
He hadn't.
Because a lot of people were talking about the mental health stuff last season. That apparently, so I've been doing my research, and apparently it was something that Sancho didn't agree that would be out there. So when Egghead talked about it,
yeah, but he only spoke about it later, and he didn't specifically say mental health. he, in the beginning, yeah, he kept saying, basically, we didn't actually know where this, but you're not understanding. Like, as in, it's like, yeah, one day, let me give you an example. It's like one day, yeah, Mudryk's just not in the squad, and then you're thinking, cool, he must be injured. And you didn't hear anything yet, but 2 weeks later, Mudryk's still not in the squad. And then Poch coming out and saying, oh, he's ill, yeah? And then another three, four weeks have passed after that, and he's still not in the squad. You'll be thinking, sorry, is this the same illness, yeah? And when managers say ill, we all think cold, yeah, like flu.
I suppose that still doesn't give him the right to expose somebody's personal.
But he didn't. Ten Hag never used the word mental health, by the way.
What did he say?
He said he's going on a break. He said he's going on a break. That was what he initially said. He's going on a break.
Oh, like an episode of Friends.
He's going on a break. And then reporters, like a month after, were like, sorry, where is this guy that you said is on a break? And obviously, as reporters, you will be asking that because you said he's going on a break. For how long and for what? That will be the first question as a reporter. For how long, for what? And Ten Hag said, we haven't put a timestamp on it. When he's back, you'll know he's back. Which is true. That's what I'm saying. Ten Hag never actually used the words mental health. He never said he's going on a mental health break. Like, it was all like pieced together based on what he had said.
Yeah.
He said he's going. Then he went later on. He was like, he's away. He's sorting personal stuff out, and then he's going to come back. And he said, when he comes back, you know he's come back because you'll see him here. And what more can you say after that? That's what I'm saying. Like, and the report about Sancho not being happy about that came after, and it was strange because the time that Sancho initially came back, he said he wants to thank the club and he wants to thank the manager specifically for allowing him the time to and being almost free in terms of like not putting pressure on when like Sancho had to come back. But yeah, I'm not gonna lie, the whole situation is weird. But this is what happens at United. A lot of manager player relationships just end up crumbling. Yeah. Like we saw this with Pogba and Jose. Like, this is not new, but I also think that Sancho has
a lot to.
Yeah, he's literally been watching us lose, by the way. Yeah, we had an injury crisis, and at that moment in time, Ten Hag was still saying he knows what he needs to do to come back into the squad.
Yeah, but my thing is with this whole situation, yeah, how do we not know that it's even out of Sancho's control to get into that squad?
So Ten Hag initially said, like,
no, and I get that, yeah, but I'm saying I'm not taking everything that Ten Hag is saying at face value.
Agreed.
I think there's a lot of things happening behind closed doors that agreed. May even be out of Ten Hag's control, where this might even be coming from top management saying don't play him in the squad for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Because I think these issues are way deeper than we think.
If it was just a simple apology.
Yeah. No, but like, now, since time has passed, though, Ten Hag said it's not about apology no more.
Like, no, but that's what I'm saying.
So
I feel like
he's just not gonna play him until he gets sold in January.
No, guys, that's what it seems like. What I think it is yeah, like the fact that he keeps saying, "Oh, he knows what to do," is far deeper than an apology. He's giving cryptic message. Like, this is not within his control anymore. Mm. He's doing
it's
what
a club,
he's
it's
being.
A club discipline.
Yeah, yeah. It's the club discipline. Because I promise you, if this was an issue just between the manager and the player, and the top management or the club literally say he still has to play regardless of your issues, he would be on that squad.
Yeah.
But it's way deep, it's way beyond that.
The
like,
club could definitely intervene.
Yeah, but they have, and that's how we're not seeing it. Like,
and they could intervene in the positive way, in the sense that, like, even if Ten Hag didn't want to play him, I'm not trying to be funny. If me as a club and I said I paid 72 million for this guy, sorry.
No, literally.
You need to find a way to put him back in the squad.
I think there's a lot of things about the way that my problem is they treated other players who have done very dubious things way better than they have.
Ten Hag is an apologist, if you didn't know. Yeah. And he's been an apologist for years. Mm. If you dig into the archives, yeah, do you know how many criminals this man has apologised on behalf of?
Mm.
And that's what I'm saying.
Allegedly. Sorry, don't sue us.
But I think, just to move on the conversation a little bit and talk about the redemption arc of Sir Harry Maguire. And I say sir because he's basically been treated like one, because apparently no one has ever suffered the way he has.
They're proper hyping. But yeah, I won't lie, he's performed really well. He performed well. And one thing I will say, his mentality is, boy. Like, he was literally, at one point, like, it felt like he went from, like, first centre-back, first name on the list, yeah, to, all right, cool. I'm behind the two, like Varane and Martinez. I can be okay with that. Then you added Luke Shaw into the fold, who's not even a centre back. Now you're trying to play with me. And then Lindelof went ahead of him as well. And it's like, okay. And then the telling factor in that as well, yeah, was that even when like none of the captains were on the pitch, yeah, Maguire still isn't captain, by the way. But Ten Hag is a, what's it called? He's got dictator vibes. Like, because there's absolutely no reason, by the way, for your previous captain to not be captain when Bruno, like, even if you wanted Bruno to become your captain, why would Maguire not be your captain when there's no Casemiro, no Bruno, and no Varane on the pitch? Lindelof was captain in the last game. You trying to play with me? That's what he needs to ask.
He's just completely removed him from that leadership group.
And that's what I have to say, like, his mentality, like, going from, he was in the pits, like, seriously, and he's coming, he's put in good performances recently, like, when he's coming, and to be honest, he's deservedly kept his spot.
But do you think those performances look good because the bar is in hell?
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, that is the reason.
My problem with Maguire is that he always looks good when you guys are losing.
When we're winning, though, he's looked like yesterday. I think he was probably our best defender. If we look at the
and that was another terrible performance by the team.
And the teams we are beating, their forwards play the way Maguire wants them to play. Do you get what I mean? Like, you don't want to see Maguire against forwards that run in behind. Then we'll see the real. Do you get what I mean? Then we'll see the real him. When we're playing like the relegation teams that are lumping the ball in, that's his bread and butter. There's certain things that Maguire does to a very good level, and it's clearing the ball when you're just putting crosses in. And that's why I said, if he went West Ham, it actually would have been a good move. But you lot thought I was cussing him, but actually would have been a very good move.
And
ego means he won't step down a level.
Do you think he stays? Do you think he stays in the team when everyone's fit?
To be honest, yeah, Martinez is out for time. That's number one. I think Martinez is out for a while. I think he's out until Feb minimum.
What's his injury?
It's the foot thing again.
I don't think it was fully, or like they need to do basically a correction surgery, or they've done the correction surgery. So now it's like he's basically recovering all over again. Varane has knocked knees, as you said.
I heard that he's not injured.
That's what but he might not be injured.
That's what the streets are saying.
The streets are saying he isn't
can't
injured.
Do the minutes.
But those knock knees. And every time I see pictures of his knees, I genuinely quiver. Like, those were, the team went monkey house yesterday, I was looking at a picture of Varane and he was wearing cargos, but the knees. Like, his knees, man.
Can you send the photo to the group chat?
I'm literally going
to
find it now. His knees are unbelievable, bro.
And what are your opinions on Johnny Evans, just before we wrap up the Manchester United section?
You know what's funny? Because when in the summer, when we were laughing.
I remember.
And we were laughing about Johnny Evans. And you were like, United do this thing where they allow other people to come back and train. But we'll do it for any academy graduate.
I'm not going to lie, we did it with Berdons. Like, Tom Huddleston was at the club. He was doing that. Like, he was doing player coach for under 23. And that's what I thought his next step was. But the United centre-backs are so finished injury wise that they were just like, we might just have to, do you know what I mean? Like, Johnny Evans is probably taking what, £50 a week? I would do it. Listen, it's like he literally said he used to have random dreams sometime, like, imagine I end up going back to United. He used to have dreams, like, imagine I end up back at United. And he said he could not believe when, can you imagine? This is what I'm saying about United. You're making too many people's dreams come true.
Wow.
But big up Johnny Evans, solid defender. Like, he's not good, can't run. he's not good and he can't run. And he sleeps at the back post. And, he loses his runner. But he's a nice guy in it. And
that's the most important thing, man. Just be a nice person.
And he's actually got a decent pass on him. And I'll leave it at that. I'm not trying to cuss him too much.
I really want to squeeze in one more question before we rapidly move on. Egghead in or egghead out? In, out, shake it all about.
If you'd have asked me 2.5 weeks ago, I would have said, he's been shitting it, but let's just keep him. After that, when I saw the City lineup, I said Ten Hag out. That was enough for me to be like, Ten Hag out. And then post-game, I said Ten Hag out. post Newcastle game, I said Ten Hag out. And post Fulham, I'm back to just still, he can go.
Yeah. Whoa. Mm.
I just don't see it getting better.
Yeah.
And he's player ID is the worst thing, like genuinely the worst thing I've ever seen. And the club can't even help his player ID, because the player ID at the club is even worse than what is in his own brain.
Nah, the players he signed, they're either rubbish or injury prone.
They're just not good. And I don't know how he's seeing them. And he knows he's under severe pressure. When they keep asking him about Anthony now, he knows he's under pressure. They asked him, they said, is this Anthony the Anthony you thought you were signing? Is that a nice question, first of all? Yeah. They asked him that, and he was quivering. You see when Ten Hag says, when he starts quivering, you know he's really taking that question to heart. And he went, yeah, obviously Anthony needs to do more. But then he went, but to be honest, the noise around Anthony isn't helping him concentrate. The noise. Anyway, let me not speak. I've said what I said on Ten Hag, innit.
Honestly, Moira, I could literally speak to you about United for the whole episode. But unfortunately, time is running out and I need to squeeze in two more segments. One being, obviously, we're recording on Sunday, so tomorrow is the Spurs-Chelsea game. And since we have half of the, basically, the women's...
Wait, are you going to skip Ella?
No, we're coming.
Don't worry.
Don't worry, man. My time management, it hasn't been great, but I've got time for Liverpool. Don't worry. So, big game tomorrow, but obviously the bigger news coming out of Stamford Bridge, and since we've got the half of the women's panel here, it only seems right. I know you guys are probably going to do a deep dive into this on the women's podcast episode, but Emma Hayes leaving Chelsea? That's I collapsed funny, to my man. Knees.
I was shocked.
How do you look for? How do you feel, Brie?
I'm heartbroken because that's the last bit of the Roman era that's left.
Yeah.
And for me, what I found very sudden is that it was just announced yesterday, even though she's leaving. Like,
the end of the season. Apparently, the players were told in the dressing room.
This is another thing that has definitely got to deal with owner.
Listen, I'm not gonna buy it.
It's because it's a strange...
If someone's departing, you'd say it maybe like with 2 months left, especially if it's something that's been planned already, but we're only in November.
I think it's more to do with the fact that she's going to get offered that United States job now. So it needed to come out to allow the succession planning, because if the US are in the Olympics... they just needed, I think it's more to do with that rather than, I think if she wasn't going directly into an international job or going to a post that's vacant, there would have been more time.
What, is her job official now?
No, but they're saying it's probably going to be US Women's National Manager.
I wish I could have just been involved to see what the whole discourse around that was behind closed doors, because that definitely...
They're going to pay her the bag though. Yeah. And she's going to have more personal, like, free time. Like, timing-wise, like, her son is young. And, like, just in terms of, like, work-life balance, being a national team coach is probably more suitable, like, for what she wants to do next. And she's probably looking at Serena with the England team, and she's thinking, you can still, like, win a lot. Like, if you've got a good team, you can still get the plaudits that you want to get at national team level whilst having your, like... Throughout the season, you're just looking at players, basically. Obviously, you're working like on stuff for the summer.
Yeah.
But, like, you've got free time.
Yeah, sure. And the thing is, though, I think, genuinely, that there aren't many jobs in the world that she would have left that Chelsea job for. But the US Women's National Team is the biggest job in women's football. Like, just the history of that team, the professionalism, and their history of winning. Like, you can't begrudge her for leaving for that job, or if she went and became the Lionesses manager as well. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird because no one remembers what Chelsea were like before Emma Hayes was there. So
I looked at it's crazy. On Twitter, I saw a lineup of the Chelsea team before she became manager, and then you look at the Chelsea team now.
Crazy.
You kind of see how much influence she's had at that club, at every single level at that club, because I think people underestimate, like, they think, oh, she's only the women's manager, but, like, the influence, because we need to go back to when Roman Abramovich was in trouble. She was going to be one of the trustees of the club, because obviously she gets it. She understands the mentality of the club, and she understands the winning mentality. I'm not going to speak too much on it because I know that you guys are going to do it in your next episode, but it'll be very interesting to see who kind of takes over from her. But from a Chelsea fan, I've got to say I'm really sad. It's the last person with any standards at that club, last person with any winning mentality. I think the bad juju from the owners has spread now to the women's team. I didn't think it was possible, but unfortunately those barriers have been broken.
And Sam Kerr's in the final year of her contract.
Sam Kerr's out of contract in the summer as well.
She's gone. Did she not?
No, she's in the final year of her contract now. Yeah, so like they want her to sign an extension this season.
But I feel like, again, like much like Emma Hayes, I think she probably wants a new challenge. I just don't know. And obviously her girlfriend plays in the US, so... and I've heard her previously talk about the difficulties of being split between three countries.
Yeah.
So Australia, America and the UK.
But the thing is now, I know we'll deep dive on our next episode, yeah. But what Emma Hayes has been doing, like, why is she buying all them goalkeepers? Look at all these young players. It almost is as if she's actually whoever takes that job next, she's been building a squad to give that person the best chance possible. Because she's sorting out certain problem areas of the pitch for whoever takes that job next.
And talking about problem areas of the pitch and not sorting them out effectively, we're going to come on to the Chelsea men's team.
What segue was that? Tell me.
The energy. Right.
I've always got energy for these.
Why are you so angry?
Because I can't stand these owners. Like, honestly, just speaking about Emma Hayes leaving and the fact that we've got a very, very big game tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, Spurs-Chelsea. Poch has been speaking a lot this week about reminiscing about his time back at the club, back at Spurs. Bree, how does that make you kind of really feel? Do you think as a Chelsea manager you can really talk about Spurs in that way, even though you managed them for, was it 5 years, five seasons?
Yeah. You know what? I don't care about anything that Poch has to say. Just get me 3 points tomorrow, please.
Hard. Do you know what killed me? Jesus Perez, who's the assistant, he posted a picture of his two daughters in Spurs shirts, and he's edited it, and they're side by side in the Chelsea shirts, and he's captioned it something like, I don't know, same blood, different colours, or something like that, and he's tweeted that like today.
Damn.
Yeah.
Tima, you look horrified.
Tima's about to start reporting people's accounts.
Listen. As Bree said, get me 3 points. My problem is, if Poch does not get 3 points after literally salivating over Spurs, that just puts a lot of pressure. Chelsea fans already want him gone.
He's still heartbroken. They got sacked.
Come clutch your man then.
He needs to get over it. Like, I don't have time.
I think they're happy with their coach, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm cool. Angeball, innit? No, but the thing is, for me, even as a Spurs fan,
being
like,
happy's making me sick.
It won't last. Don't worry.
Hey, our people as well. But anyway, it's good times. Like, to be fair, even as a Spurs fan, I don't think it's appropriate. I don't want to hear it now. For him to talk about how much he loved us and how great the job was. If you loved us that badly, you wouldn't have taken the Chelsea job. So that's where I draw the line. So I personally don't want to hear it either. I think the history of the fixture, like even Ange kind of come out and said, Poch was really loved at the club. I think he'll be really like respected and he'll get a nice reception. But you lot need to understand the history of this fixture and that it's a derby and it's going to be played as such. And you need to get on board with that. And they'll find out tomorrow in the ground.
Who will find out?
I think Poch will get booed. I think the boos would be audible, and I think Ange will learn how important the Spurs Chelsea derby is.
I think he will get booed by both sets of fans.
I genuinely think like Poch is a lovely guy, and I genuinely think he's going to go to sleep tonight thinking, oh, it's going to be a lovely day.
No, I don't think he's deluded.
Why is he speaking like that in the press?
Because I think he's just being genuine, and I think it doesn't work for either sets of fans.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
And I think my problem is it's put unnecessary pressure on him that he already had pressure. Chelsea fans, as I said, already want him out. So to go and speak lovingly about a club that we obviously can't stand, it doesn't help anybody. So, but I just think it's a genuine reaction. I think he probably knows he's going to get booed. Like, he was there at the Battle of the Bridge. Like, he's not a silly man. Like, he was there when you lot were pushing down the sweet old man that is Goose Hiddink, almost broke his hip. But I want to just touch on the Chelsea team, because one man I don't want to ever see touch a blade of grass, not even at the Beyonce Stadium, is Nicholas Jackson. Please. He cannot start.
I agree. No, I would.
Hope he starts.
If we're thinking about who I'd want up front, ideally, I would go with Sterling.
Mm.
What's his face? My brain's gone blank.
Mudryk?
Palmer?
Yeah, Sterling, Mudryk, and
Palmer.
Nah. I'll go with them three.
If I see Nicholas Jackson when the team sheet comes out, I'm skipping down.
No, nah, Nicholas Jackson's not starting. 100% not. If he starts, I'm not watching the game.
He won't be able to do 90 minutes.
He's back in training.
Do you think he'll be fit though to start?
No, he's going to be benched. He's not starting. Yeah. No, Timar, he's not starting.
Mudryk.
No, I mean Jackson.
Oh, Jackson's not starting. But yeah. Mudryk, he never finished. He only ever plays 60 minutes, even when he's fully fit. So I expect him to start. I just don't expect him to finish the game. It's going to be interesting. In terms of your squad, because I know that Bentancur is back, do you think he starts?
No,
or
no. He played like 5 minutes.
Mm.
He's not going to start. I mean, yeah, he won't start. My biggest concern is that Destiny is carrying a knock.
Who?
And it looks like his ankle ligaments.
His first name is Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His first name is Destiny.
You didn't know this? Yeah.
You know, I was going to say something about Nigerians, but let me not talk one.
Yeah, Timo, relax.
Nigerian Destiny.
She was about to still say it. Yeah, help yourself.
Anyway.
Yeah, and I think in the last game, Ben Davies started in the position and tried to do that role, and it was really scary to watch. And if Destiny can't start, and that means that we might have to start Emerson there. And I just feel he's so right-footed. Like, he has played well, but playing a right-footed player in the left-back role concerns me. Mm-hmm. So I think if the lineup comes out and he's not there, yeah, I'm a bit worried. Apart from that, the rest of our team is fit. But I think because we play with the inverted fullbacks and they contribute so much to how we move the ball forward and shift the ball forwards, having a fullback whose ideal position is like a centre half in a back three. If I see Ben Davies' name there, he just cannot do that role. That's just not his skill set. And yeah, so I think that will concern me.
I think
yeah.
I know we're pressed for time, and to be honest, I don't really want to speak on this game too much because. Yeah, let's Chelsea do the talking on the pitch.
I want to know predictions.
Yeah, I'm about to. Without Nicholas Jackson, let's do the talking on the pitch. Brie, what do you think the score's going to be tomorrow?
In my ideal world, 2-0.
In reality?
2-0.
2-0.
Chelsea.
No, 2-1 Chelsea.
2-1 Chelsea. Ella?
Ooh, this is tough. I'm going to go 1-1 draw.
Where?
2-1 Spurs.
3-1
Spurs. I never asked.
Relax. It's the same prediction as Chelsea.
I think 2-1 Chelsea. I think Chelsea will nick it. And if they don't, please give me back the hosting next week, and you will not be on the But quickly before we wrap up, Ella, three words to describe that atrocious Liverpool performance against Luton away.
I'm actually not surprised.
That's and more I'll than three words, no?
I know, but I could give you more than three words. The three words is too little. But it was embarrassing. It was slow, sluggish. But to be honest, like even before today, last season, we didn't win away to any of the relegation sides that came up. The promoted sides that came up. So I know the expectation, of course, was to beat Luton because, yeah, it's Luton. But I wasn't too surprised, and that is why I told you do not captain Salah, because I don't know. Because I look at the Liverpool midfield, and it's just a different midfield. So that grit, that bit of we've lost that a bit with Henderson and Fabinho, but we obviously replaced them with young, very talented players on the ball.
Mm.
But you have McAllister again, it's not a six. We talk about this every week. oh, I just feel so bad for him, but here we go. So McAllister is obviously not a six. We've got Szoboszlai and Gravenberch. I thought they had probably their worst game as a collective.
Long may it continue.
It was very poor. Trent was okay, but the issue I have with Trent is this whole midfield thing. When you're trying to break down a low block, we need that width. And what's annoying me about Trent is he's not really taking initiative to think the space is out wide. That's where we're going to be dangerous. And again, Darwin Núñez.
See, Salah would have got points if he knew how to shoot.
Oh, yeah, that was atrocious. I don't even know what to say.
that miss is worse than Richarlison's miss.
I don't even have him though. He does the easy things badly and the tough things so well. Mm-hmm. Like the goal against Bournemouth midweek, that you're thinking amazing.
But it was only even because his first touch was terrible.
It was such a Darwin goal, and I'm just thinking, this guy. I love him to bits, but. This is the one time I think his miss actually cost us points, which I really didn't want. But you know what? I'm super happy that Diaz managed to get that goal for everything he's going through. Yeah. Like, he released a statement after the match about pleading with them to let his father go, basically. And it's just an awful situation for him.
I really hope that that Diaz situation resolves itself, because some things are bigger than football, and you could really see that he really wants his dad back. And we all hope that his dad is released soon. Unfortunately, that is all we have for today. It's been a pleasure to be in such great company. Please follow us on social media. So please follow us on Twitter and on TikTok at GoldDiggersUK, and please follow us on Instagram at GoldDiggersUK_. We will see you next time. Hope Chelsea batter Spurs.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.